Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. And guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get those questions in. We are 74 days away from kickoff, and it was a special 75th day yesterday. Whoa. As Longhorns got a big-time commitment in D-Bell, and I'm going to cue the highlights here. And while I do that, Jerry, I'm going to let you tell folks about him.
Yeah, that was a huge recruitment. I mean, look, we've been saying that Texas felt really good about D'Abell, the 26th quarterback out of American Heritage. But look, then he pulls the trigger, commits to Texas. And when I was there, he had said it would be in June, and that's exactly when it was. It was mid-June. I think Texas was a favorite early on with him as soon as they offered mid-March after being down there in mid-May to visit with D'Abell. When he told me Texas was his only visit scheduled at the time on June 1st, I was like, that's kind of interesting. That guy, and it goes against all the chatter about Penn State and LSU being the teams to beat. But I think, look, D'Abell, I think he's a tremendous prospect, first of all. We'll get into the where he's from and why that's important, in my opinion. But, look, he's a guy that he's got the right makeup. He's got a little moxie about him. He's got something about him that you really like being around him. Bobby, he has a playmaker at the quarterback position with his feet, right? He's a pass, then run guy with those feet. But look, he's dad's NBA player, right? I mean, he comes from that pedigree. He's brought up the right way as an athlete from a mental mindset standpoint. And if you're watching this video for the first time, he has some really fast guys he throws to. The second fastest 4x100 team in the country to Atascocita. These guys had a faster time than Duncanville, and they were all sophomores.
I've been looking at this film that, you know, we started tracking him, Jerry, back when you first told us to, right? About a month and a half, 2 months ago. And you said this might be the guy for Texas. Him and the other one was Troy Hune out of California. Which CJ talked to yesterday, and there's not much going on there. So we know that this is going to be their only quarterback of the 2026 class. That's how Sark likes to roll. But when I first started looking at him, Jerry, it's very interesting. You talked about his feet,
yeah,
and how he's able to get in and out of traffic. He and KJ Lacy both make some plays with their feet, but they run to throw.
Yes.
They don't run to run necessarily. And I'm not saying that you can't do both here. Like, this is a perfect example of a positive play out of a run set. And he's a bigger kid than KJ Lacy, too. But I find it interesting that Sark maybe, you know, he's finding different kind of guys than that, you know, stationary quarterback that he's known for, frankly. I mean, he's known for those bigger guys that don't necessarily tuck and run. But the last two, particularly with Lacy and now D'Abell, have some real escapability and mobility.
And I think the thing with his feet that I always think about with a kid like this is, look, obviously he grew up a basketball kid. He was a very good basketball player before he came football focused. He played varsity and basketball in eighth grade at American Heritage. Then he averaged 20.7 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, right around there as a freshman on varsity at American Heritage. Obviously, I call it basketball feet, right? He's got those quick, reactive feet, a kid that grew up playing basketball. Obviously, he went up against the dad who was really good in the backyard. There's videos on Rajah Bell's Instagram from 2018 when they were playing basketball in the backyard that I actually posted on texasfootball.com. But he's got those basketball feet. He's got that basketball kind of reactive quickness and that body quickness about him that I really love in athletes. But he's also got the patient quarterback mind. I think that's the key. So when you combine those basketball athletic feet and those athletic instincts with Rod and I talk about all the time, look, a guy that can go out and play basketball and be really good, play quarterback and be really good. That means you know he can go hit a baseball. You know we can go play ping pong. He could probably go play cricket and watch it and pick it up and be pretty good at it, right? He's got those athletic instincts. That is what Steve Sarkisian looks for. There's a similarity there. KJ Lacy was a point guard in basketball before he became football focused. What was D'Abell? Same. I mean, so yeah. There's a similarity there in athletic instincts that I think Steve Sarkisian's looking for. And this guy's going to be really good in the RPO game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would seem like it would probably be his. And he doesn't lack for arm strength either, right, Jerry. You're not giving up anything with his arm to use his legs, which is another thing that, you talk about it, and we all talk about it all the time. Sark's not going to take a quarterback that can't make all the throws.
Right, no doubt.
And he didn't do that here with Dia Bell. The other thing, this takes Texas to two commitments in the class of 2026. But Racy and Guillory, the running back in that class, is taking other visits. He's clearly not, I would say, firm in his pledge to the University of Texas at this point. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But I think Texas has its focal point of the class of 2026 started with the quarterback. They did the same thing last year with KJ Lacy. I go back over and over about it. It starts at the top in how they recruit and their strategy, Jerry. And Sark's got it down. He knows what he wants to do. Take care of the quarterback first, make sure that one's done, and then roll from there. And everything will take care of itself. And he's able to, he's able to focus on those other positions, right, Jerry? I mean, he's able to go out and get those guys once it gets going. And I look at I'm not just excited about Dia Bell from yesterday. I mean, they've got more guys coming on campus for this 2025 class this week as well. I mean, they have midweek visits. I'm not 100% sure that Texas is going to be in the college football playoff or anything like that this year. No one is, right? No one can be. I'm 100% sure they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Now, beyond that, they got to go prove it, but they're going to have the dudes this year. They're going to have them next year, and they're going to have them the year after that. And if you're a Texas fan, that feels pretty darn good based on where we're coming from in the last 10 years. In my opinion,
so, I want to say why this is big from a recruiting standpoint as well. Is this is a American Heritage High School, Plantation, Florida, Broward, top quarterback in the state of Florida. That's a big deal. Look, I mean, Tashard Choice got Texas in the Florida, in that Orlando area. Jeff Banks recruits that Tampa area as well for years. IMG, Tampa, Orlando area. But now, Michael Kern's a punter at St. Thomas Aquinas, so he'll be competing for the job this year, but that's a little different, right? When you go in to Broward County, American Heritage High, and you get one of the top quarterbacks in the country and the top quarterback in the state of Florida and a kid that's popular, popular with other guys, he's a known guy as a prospect and as a quarterback, that's a big win for Sark as they continue to expand in Florida. Now that Jamie French recruitment, which we've been talking about, that's big in Florida. He's out of Jacksonville area. So, look, I mean, Brandon Brown, keeping him in the boat if you can. He's out of Melbourne on the Space Coast of Florida. Texas is expanding their Sunshine State footprint, which is good for me. That means more trips to see all these kids down there. But they're expanding their footprint in Florida, and I love it. I absolutely love it because I think it's a huge year in that state in college football right now. What's going to happen at Florida? Is Mario going to get over the hump at Miami? Is Norville going to keep it going at FSU? If there's any type of questions about all that throughout this season, then Florida, I think those kids will come visit Texas. I think if you take enough shots on goal, so to speak, that you can win some big recruitments in Florida. And when you think about what's going on in this 25 class in Florida, Javion Hilson, the edge out of Coco, That'll be Florida State or Texas. He's committed to Florida State. He visits there this weekend. Myron Charles, I think, will be Florida State or Texas. He's visiting FSU this weekend. It's a big one. Kevin Wynn out of Georgia as well. But then you look at Brandon Brown visiting Oklahoma, but I still think that's Texas or LSU. Even he's committed to Texas, but LSU's making obviously the big push there. But if you look around at the state of Florida, getting Dia Bell in the boat, having that voice out there for a couple of years, that's going to resonate. If Texas can win that Jamie French recruitment as well, I mean, state of Florida, I mean, that looks a lot different when you get Cedric Baxter 1 year, you come back and you get Jarrett Gibson, the second year guys that were committed to Florida State and Florida. If you went out for Jamie French this year and you have Dia Bell the following year, I mean, that starts to look a little different for Texas recruiting the state of Florida. If you can hold on to Brandon Brown as well. I mean, those are some major recruitments in areas. I mean, that Texas hasn't won recruitments before. So that was a big commitment for a number of reasons. And by the way, those kids at American Heritage, I'm telling you, those two sophomore receivers down there, the Brandon Bennett kid hit 10-4 flat in the 100 this year as a sophomore. And Jamari Sanders, who ran 10-2-9 as a freshman in the 100, concentrated more on the 200 and the relays, went 20.50 as a sophomore in the 200. Diabel will not have to adjust to the speed of the game as far as throwing two fast receivers. He's got two more years of throwing the two of the fastest players in America.
And we got a lot of Diabel questions, guys, a lot more recruit questions. We'll get into all those here in just a little bit. But first, Bobby, before we talk even more recruiting, can you tell folks out there about Texas Electricity Ratings?
I absolutely can. Thanks for the spot there, Blake, to do this, because we want to say thank you to our sponsors each and every Tuesday live stream, our Tuesday morning coffee and football, brought to you by our friends at Texas Electricity Ratings. For the those still living in Dallas, or excuse me, in Texas, and in the major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas or Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. I had someone tell me that they used Texas Electricity the other day and it got them set up really well. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan or just want to shop around because, goodness, summer is coming, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. Hook them from the guys at TexasElectricityRatings.com. Hey, Jerry, I got to ask you something before we go to some of the fans' questions. The afterglow of this big recruiting weekend is now, you know, it's Tuesday now, starting to wear off. Anything from this past weekend that you're highly monitoring right now or feeling strongly about as we head into the rest of this week?
Yeah, I think the one thing is Texas is very, very much in the fight for Nick Brooks, the offensive lineman. We kind of set that up, but the official visit, apparently he can sing. He might have won karaoke Saturday night at 6'7", 360, singing country music. But I think Texas and Georgia, it's just weird that Texas and Georgia are battling it out for a large human in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That tells you how far the Texas program has come under Sarkisian and Kyle Flood. But look, that battle between Texas and Georgia normally happens in Atlanta or happens in somewhere in Texas or in between Texas and Atlanta. So that one's interesting to me. I'm not sure he makes a decision soon though, but I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think Kelshon Johnson's a fascinating one because look, we've been saying it. I mean, I know some people in the industry said, does Texas want Kelshon Johnson? Yes. Yeah, Sarkisian likes guys who are very fast that can score touchdowns. People that cover Texas should know this, but, that one's interesting because it's A&M or Texas. And so one of the faster players and more explosive players in this state, is he going to go to Texas or is he going to go to the arch rival? I think that's an interesting recruitment because you know that Sarkisian doesn't want to lose that type of playmaker to A&M and let them start getting those type of playmakers. That's where recruiting kind of gets fun. I'm watching that. People, we've had questions we're going to get to. I think, you know, things remain positive with the Corey and Moore in Texas. And then you kind of look at the edge position. And Marco Jones is a Texas-Michigan battle for Marco Jones out of San Ramon, California, if that sticks through the official visit this weekend. But, I mean, that's July 2nd announcement. Smith Orogbo, July 1st announcement. So two edges. And Javion Hilson after this FSU visit, I don't think it'll be too long before he announces a final decision, whether he sticks with Florida State or flips to Texas. So, I mean, these three edge guys, you have Lance Jackson, who is an unbelievable looking kid physically and as an athlete. You have one of the best in the country in the boat. Which of those guys are you going to add? I think that's going to be so interesting because they all have decisions coming up. I think bang, bang, bang here coming up in early July. So I think Texas will have probably their edge class. They'll have a second guy, whoever that is, come out of that. That'll be interesting to see. We've had a lot of Riley Pettijohn questions. How does that A&M visit go this weekend? I mean, it's Texas, Ohio State, it's A&M. How does that A&M visit go this weekend? They'll be throwing all the kitchen sinks. And College Station, that recruitment. So It'll be interesting to see which way that goes. And I posted on TexasFootball.com that if Texas got Elijah Barnes and Riley Pettijohn, that's in, at linebacker in this class, that's send Texas fans in the orbit for a little while, as it should. So that's a big recruitment, Bobby. And but I think the bigger piece for me right now is defensive back this week and this weekend is huge, because you have Cade Phillips coming in, you have Aiden Anning. I talked to Aiden Anning last night. He is bringing mom, brother, and two or three other family members in. So it won't quite get to the 12 to 14 person photo that DeCorey and Moore had over the weekend, but Aiden Anning's bringing a lot of family members from Ruston to Austin this weekend. And when you prioritize a guy like that early and let a couple out-of-state guys go, then you got to close that one out, right? I mean, that's the reality. At a premium position at corner, that's a big one. Cade Phillips, I think, is a big recruitment. Was at LSU last week, and he's coming to Texas this weekend. I think he's one of the best athletes in the state. I mean, 6'2", 180, 10-inch hands, 80-inch wingspan, 24-7 long jump, made it to state in the 200 meters. I mean, those are the guys you want that haven't even really come close to maximizing their potential. So, and the DBs midweek this week, Nathan Tillman, the SMU commitment for now, the 185, runs 10-7. We like those guys, Bobby. Dorian Brew, can Texas make a move with Dorian Brew? Not getting a weekend visit says it's going to be tougher because Texas preferred the weekend visit. Then we'll see. I think Dejon Lee's a long shot, but you never know. That's why you bring in guys for a visit. So I think DB this weekend is pretty big, this week and this weekend for Texas. I want to say this, Gerald Nash. We're working on getting Bell or somebody from American Heritage on. But when I went to American Heritage in mid-May, I had an interview with Dia Bell that's up on Texas Football. If you search Dia Bell, it should pop up. But there was a good interview with him, about a 10-minute, 12-minute interview with him at American Heritage when I was there in mid-May, which gives you a lot of insight into kind of, I think, why Steve Sarkisian, AJ Milwee really liked Dia Bell and targeted him.
Good stuff, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, real quick, I did want to ask you about the offensive line and the defensive front. Now, not just the edges, but the front. So John Mills still feel good there as of right now, coming off of his official visit?
Yeah, I think that he could decide in a week. He could decide in 3 weeks. I think they have that family vacation they've been going on I think in Europe. That's why I wasn't going to have an official visit this weekend. And I think they leave at the end of June for that. So the question is, will he announce then? Will he announce after his vacation? We'll see. And I know Texas fans, last time there was a European vacation, Reiner Swanson went to BYU. Yeah, maybe. Will Texas go for two on European vacation recruitments? We'll see. But I think it's Texas or Washington. There was some chatter about Florida. I'm not buying it. I think it's Texas or Washington for John Mills. He has four family members that went to Washington, obviously, and there were athletes there. If he maintains, I want to play football in the South, then I think Texas will be the pick. But I think Texas is in a good spot, and we'll see what happens.
Got what about the defensive front, Kevin Wynn? Even Josiah Sharma, Myron Charles that visited the week before.
On those guys? You know, interesting on Myron Charles, I actually think his communication with Texas has picked up even more since the official visit, which tells you Texas is very much in this thing. And I've said before, I think Texas, Florida State, he was at Miami last weekend. He goes to Florida State this weekend. That's kind of when I stopped by Port Charlotte, all the chatter was, Florida State has a lot of confidence, but Texas would be the challenger there. And it kind of feels like that's the way it's still headed. And I don't want to totally discount Miami, but that feels like that's where it's headed right now. Josiah Sharma was at Oregon last weekend. He's got Alabama this weekend. I think Texas is top two there. I mean, you're battling out Alabama. I haven't heard anything post-Oregon that would send off alarm bells that maybe is Texas being pushed by Oregon. But I think Texas-Alabama is where that's been headed. So we'll see. Washington got an official visit as well. Kevin Wynn, I think Texas put themselves in contention there. I think beforehand, we talked about it. We said, look, he's never been to Austin. It's kind of a wild card. Isn't going to overwhelm him. The size of Austin being a small town Georgia kid. But it did not. He talked about the outside of football, the opportunities, networking. He wants to be a chef. He wants to own his own restaurant. I think Texas did a great job kind of bringing everything out that could happen for him as far as networking in Austin with that goes. And I think Texas is very much in it. The question there is, I think that maybe some family would like him closer to home, but does that mean Georgia? Not necessarily. Could that mean South Carolina? Could that mean FSU? We'll see. But I think Kevin Wynn will make his own decision. Big one this week in Zion Williams coming in. Zion Williams from Lufkin, that's an LSU lean. He's announcing July 4th coming into Texas. And that's another big one for the Horns here at defensive line. And DJ Sanders will also be in town, which he's – I have him more in the developmental prospect than some of the other guys. I think that one may take him a little more time. So a name you probably – you could get if you went out the recruitment, but you may not really – you may stash and develop that one for a little while compared to some of the other guys.
Good stuff for sure. And a lot of recruiting questions, as I said, and we'll get to those here in a minute. But first, guys, I want to talk about PFF. They came out with some power rankings, and Texas number 2 in those rankings. But what I want to discuss a little bit further, they also put up some projections. And I'm going to put it up here on the screen. Strength of schedule is ranked 5, projected win total at 9, projected chance to make a bowl game, 95.5%, projected chance to win the SEC is 17.4%, and projected chance to win a national championship, 7.6%.
So why did they have Texas number 2 overall? Would be my question. Is that number 2 overall, and they're only projecting 9 wins?
Yeah.
They have Georgia 1 and Texas 2.
And Michigan
3. How does that work if they only have 9 projected wins and they expect Texas to finish second in the country? Going to go on a run in the playoffs, I guess? I mean, that's interesting. How does that work? Look, we could talk about the projected win total all we want, I think, with Texas. I think everybody realizes it's the first year in a new conference. I think 9 would be mildly disappointing, but not out of the realm. It's not like somebody wouldn't say, oh, no, that can never happen. But I think it would be mildly disappointing. The reality of it, all of it is that Texas has the dudes to be in every single game they play, no matter who they play. That is just the you know, that's just the bottom line. Now, I will say this. It's much like last year when they went into Tuscaloosa, Jerry, and beat Alabama. Yeah. When that happened, the projected win total went up. All of us said that. It's up. You know, if you thought 10, now it's 11,
yep.
Right? So I think it's the same this year. If they go into Ann Arbor and beat Michigan, the win total goes up. So we'll see. Someone, Thunderpup, saying 7.63%. to win the national championship looks too low. I've got to be honest. I'll take 8% chance to win the national championship any year. That's 1 in 12 shot, basically, of winning the national championship. I'll take it. I know it's not perfect. I know you'd love to say 50%, but I mean, look, again, you know, 8% chance to win the national championship, pretty damn high if you really think about it.
Yeah. And one other thing while we're on the subject of PFF is, and they just put this out, guys, highest graded returning SEC corners here. And the Longhorns with 3 on the list, but Javion Cole,
whoa,
the highest graded with 86.2. The next highest is Mark Davis Jr. from Vandy at 83.9. But how about that? The Longhorns with 3 of the top 6.
Well, I mean, is it the guy from A&M there at the bottom of the list? Isn't he also a transfer?
From Kansas State.
Will Lee. Okay, that's the big tall one. Look, I would say this. You know, Javion Cole had a tremendous freshman and sophomore year at the collegiate level. The question we have is whether or not he can make that transition. Here's the problem I have with SEC-graded cornerbacks by our friends over at Pro Football Focus. They have Gavin Holmes rated ahead of Manny Muhammad. So it is definitely not based on number of snaps, because Manny Muhammad certainly out-snapped Gavin Holmes a year ago. And so I feel like that's a little bit, you know, chancy. What's interesting, 2 Vanderbilt corners on that list too.
Yeah.
Jared, you noticed that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think, look, Javion Cole, it's going to be so interesting, because I think there's some similarities with Silas Bolden and him as far as that chip on their shoulder and coming in with something extra to prove. Getting through the install portion this summer is the big thing for the newcomers, him and Santana Wilson, right? If Javion Cole makes a smooth transition with that, as you, and most people say, yeah, he will. if he makes a smooth transition with that, I don't think he starts practice one as a first team guy, right? Anytime guys have transferred, and Isaiah Bond did, but you know, even Amari Neidlach was running second and third team throughout the spring, right? So these guys aren't going to come in and walk in and be first teamers. But if he picks up the install and has a smooth transition there, it's not going to shock me if he's not a starter.
All right. Well, Jerry, before we move on, I'm going to let it be your time to shine. I'm going to cue the razor. About Manscaped.
Handyman was on the road in Austin last week, and it's been the last 2 weeks. He'll be on the road again. But look, we're not talking about the handyman. We're talking about smooth sack summer, guys. Ladies plus gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that smooth sack summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you can make this season your smoothest yet. Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS. All caps, summertime, and the trimming is easy. And look, Manscaped 5.0 Performance Package has everything you need to prepare that summer bod. And that's the most important thing. Now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecues. The Crop Soother, aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Manscaped on Texas, all caps.
Good stuff. As always. All right. Well, let's get to some questions here, fellas. We got some super chats that we need to knock out. And we'll start with this one from Jack here, who's no stranger to super chats himself. Thank you, Jack. He says, Jerry, I don't think anyone has ever quoted a Gershwin on a football site before. Summertime and the turn's easy. Awesome.
Thank you for that, Jack.
And then Alex. Thank you, Alex. He says, morning, guys. Y'all think that Sark will be out for a little extra revenge when they go back to Arkansas after being embarrassed in 2020?
Heck yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great super chat. And the answer is, oh, yeah.
He better be.
Yeah. I mean, that, there's not many times Sark's offense is made to look bad. That was that, and it was TCU, right? Yeah, that game will have some meaning. These guys keep receipts.
And then Ran Rodriguez with the super chat. Thank you, Ran. He says, guys, not having the greatest feeling about Riley Pettijohn. Sounds just like Texas was showing Moore all the love and didn't make him a priority. How are you feeling about that recruitment?
I think Texas is right there. I mean, he'll visit A&M this week and we'll see. Like I said, A&M will throw the kitchen sink. They're going to make him feel like he's the one this weekend. I think Ohio State's in the ball game, right? I'm not sure about USC. I don't really see that. But I think it'll come down to the wire. I think Texas is in the game there. And look, I think when this process started, if you have Elijah Barnes, you have Riley Pettijohn, when the process starts, you want to get one of those two guys. Now you have Elijah Barnes in the boat, which I want to play his highlights because I think, Blake, while we talk about Pettijohn, I want to bring up Barnes because I think sometimes when these guys commit, we tend to not talk about them enough and we forget just how good these guys are while we're talking linebacker here. I need to call. Man, allergies are a butt kicker. All right, but Riley Pettijohn, I think what you know, look, when you got Elijah Barnes, you're playing with house money, Bobby. Then you have Riley Pettijohn. So that's two of the very best linebackers in the country out of the DFW area. So you wanted to get one. If you can get both, that's great if you're Texas. But you know it's going to be a battle because everybody's going to be coming after you, especially A&M will be trying to come after you since you have Barnes already. Jonathan Cunningham also in the mix there. And Madden Faramo, I don't know if Brandon Huey's on the chat, but if he is, he just got fired up. Madden Faramo scheduled to be in town this weekend as well, Notre Dame lean. So we'll see which way Texas goes. They want three linebackers in the class. But, guys, we sometimes when these guys commit, we don't bring them up enough again on the show, but I think Elijah Barnes is big time. Here's Madden Faramo striking everybody with a cast on his hand, which I instantly loved Madden Faramo when I saw him playing with the Cats. Look at him close on the football, Bobby. That's a little closing speed right there.
Decide and go.
Yeah.
That's the role of the linebacker. Make a decision and go. That's what he does very, very well, Jared. That's one of those guys. You talk about Elijah Bo Barnes. I just love the athleticism at his size, as well as the fact that when he hits them, they go down.
Plays over. Yeah,
plays over. Those are the kind of linebackers you need in the SEC. It's not all about speed there, although speed is a prerequisite. So is athleticism in the SEC. But really, it's the fact that when you hit somebody, they go down, because you're going to be playing 230-pound running backs just about every week.
Yeah,
this isn't the Big 12 where a lot of them are more scat back types. And you got to beat them. That's why one of the reasons why I think Taj Brooks was so effective in the Big 12, why yes. Jonathan Brooks was effective in the Big 12. They're power backs. And there's not a ton of those guys in the Big 12. And those defenses are not made to stop the power running backs. So anyways, long story short, that's one of the things I think needs to change. Obviously, Anthony Hill is built that way already. But I think the Longhorns need more of those type of linebackers. And that's what Barnes certainly is, among the others as well.
Let's jump back over to Diabelle, because as I said at the beginning, we do have some questions and comments regarding that. And we'll start with Living Rent Free in UT. He says, Diabelle really reminds me of CJ Stroud. Has the ability to scramble, but uses it to extend plays, and also delivers dimes in the pocket and on the move. He's a special talent at his age. What are y'all's thoughts on that comparison?
That's an interesting one, because you know, CJ kind of burst onto the scene late. I do think there maybe are some similarities there, but we'll have to see where that goes with Diabelle. But I do like Diabelle's skill set quite a bit. I like that he has the feet to make plays to get the ball out of his hand and not run. I think is a really good fit in Sark's scheme. And obviously, CJ Stroud would have tore it up in Sark's game.
And then,
hey, by the way, I got to remind people who was CJ Stroud's receiver in high school. That is now a current Texas Longhorn. That's going to be a trivia show question. Yep. Silas Bolden is the answer.
Silas Bolden. And they grew up playing youth football against each other, and then they ended up in the same school. What senior year? I think it was. Yep. Yeah, that was awesome.
And Bill, obviously a 2026 quarterback. And Jay Lee says, are there any negatives to taking a kid this early?
Yes. I mean, there is. Not for certain players. Mac Brown did a lot of that. And he took a lot of players way too early, in my opinion, that didn't prove out as seniors in high school. But in this situation, it's not like Texas is overdoing it.
Yeah.
Like Texas isn't filling up with 13 or 15 kids right now in the middle before they even play their junior year of high school football. I would also say that there's a lot more known about kids earlier these days than there were in the Mac Brown era, when he was just taking guys whoever came to camp and he liked and he would take them. So my vantage point on that is, yeah, there's risk involved, because, hey, look, anybody can get injured at any time. And if that happens, then that's really hurts a long-term chances of a player potentially, right? But I think that at certain positions, it's more than worth the risk. So I think that it's not too early to take Diabelle, for sure, the quarterback that just committed to Texas yesterday, at all. I think that's becoming normal for Steve Sarkisian to get them at this time. Whether it's Trey Owens, whether it's Diabelle, whether it's KJ Lacy, he's going to start looking in that summer before their junior year, before their junior year. That's what he's going to be wanting to do.
Hey, Blake, I want to hit a couple real quick. Did Rajah Bell play any football in high school? You know, I don't know the answer to that question. Obviously, he was a basketball player at FIU. His Dia's mom was a tremendous soccer player at FIU, right? So two parents that had really good feet, which, you know, I'm a fan of that. But I'm not sure if Rajah played any football in high school. I'll have to ask on that. Scott Knutson, Jaron Bobby with Bell's announcement. We think KJ Lacy stays in the mix. Yeah, I do. I think KJ Lacy wants to be a Texas Longhorn, wants to develop under Steve Sarkisian and compete for the Texas job. Mike Gosnell has a good one, Bobby, I think. Do you see Texas expanding their footprint up the East Coast, Carolinas, Virginia, or maybe even Midwest Illinois? You know, I don't right now. I think if there's a connection. Now, Texas has messed around in Maryland. Pete Kwiatkowski, Blake Gideon, they've been around out in Maryland a little bit, in Baltimore area, D.C. area, hitting a few schools. It's just more spot recruiting, right? I don't know if there's just time to do all that. I know there's a lot of in-house recruiting guys that Wright can say, hey, man, we have a chance at this guy. This guy's really good. But that's different than time perspective, being able to travel to Virginia, travel to D.C., go into the Carolinas, because Carolinas are spread out from a recruiting standpoint. Because Research Triangle, 2 hours to Charlotte. Research Triangle to the East Coast, these small towns on the East Coast of Carolina put out tremendous players over here and some of the better D linemen. That's just hard travel days. So I don't know if that's from a time standpoint, if we'll ever see Texas really recruit those areas. If there's somebody they have a chance at that is like a connection, I could see that.
Jerry, the place that gets me that Texas has not done enough in years and years is basically Missouri, both Kansas City and St. Louis. They have an opportunity to go get guys like Ryan Wingo each and every year. They really do. And Texas has just been reluctant for whatever reason to push in that area more. So it's not even up to Illinois as much as it is Kansas City and St. Louis for me. Those are natural cities that Texas should be recruiting more from. Multiple nonstops a day from Austin, all kinds of opportunities there. So I would say those are the two more so than say Chicago and the Midwest overall.
Hey guys, I want to bring this up real quick. Chris Del Conte just tweeted this here, and he says, "Look what just hit the office." Rector's Cup.
There you go. Congrats, Chris, and the entire Longhorn Athletic Department. Three of the last 4 years, Texas now wins the Learfield Director's Cup. Big-time Longhorn win there. Guys, I think that one of the things about that is the fact that it is an award for the entire athletic department to be party to. Even if you didn't win a national championship and finished third, fourth, like football did, you still created points on behalf of that trophy. I just think it's a great award and shows the level of excellence across the board at the University of Texas.
All right, we got another super chat. This one from Archmania says, did y'all see the rolling ESPN ticker announcing five-star quarterback Dia Bell during the Texas A&M baseball game last night? Can you imagine the Aggie angst? Thank you, Arch. Appreciate the super chat for sure. And plenty of time to get your questions in, guys, so please do so. And let's start here with this one from Steve Kapp, since we've been talking about quarterbacks. He wants to know, who do you think starts at quarterback after Arch Manning?
Somebody that's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't have that answer. That's going to come down to competition. Patience is going to be key. I think patience is going to be key. Patience with development. Who has the most patience with their development? I think we'll answer that question over time.
And Zach Kern wants to know, who in this class is the domino that needs to fall for guys to jump in on after another, such as Arch Manning a couple of years ago? Is there one?
Yeah, you know, look, that was a good question last night on the Longhorn live stream as well. We kind of talked about that. People brought up Arch and Colin Simmons, but Colin Simmons was in early August, right? And I see DeCorian Moore kind of trending that way too. Not that he couldn't decide in July, but look, that's going to be a big announcement. That's the number one receiver in the country, top five prospect in the country, Duncanville High School. That's going to be a big announcement for him. There's going to be local TV. Everybody's going to want to be there. So that's going to be a big announcement. I see that maybe going a little while, but I could be wrong on that. These timelines change. So I don't know if I have the answer for that one, Bobby. I mean, it could be as simple as Brandon Brown coming out and saying, "Hey, man, Texas is where I want to be. I've decided." Boom, and maybe that adds a couple of D linemen. Maybe some dominoes start falling on the defensive side like that. But I'm not sure there is one guy in this class.
I don't think Sark wants there to be a Pied Piper. That, like, Arch was a different category, and still is, frankly. I mean, he's one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks I've ever heard of. From that standpoint, and I mean that in when I say paid, highest profile.
Yeah.
That Texas has certainly ever had. What I think here is that Stark purposely doesn't want one guy deciding everybody else's future. Now, some guys do. To your point, Arch Manning gives you a lot of swagger headed into a football season. Number one ranked quarterback, number one overall player in the country, etc. I don't know that Texas is that way right now. I don't know that Sark necessarily wants everybody to be reliant on one another within a recruiting class. He wants them to make decisions on their own. So I don't know that there's a Pied Piper, and I don't know that Sark actually cares if there is or isn't one.
Our next question, fellas, is going to come from Shake and Bake. And he said, how much does the nutrition program and facilities come into play for a recruit?
I think facilities, you have to have the bells and whistles. I don't think it's a differentiator like it was maybe a decade ago when some teams are really getting ahead of competition. I think Texas has all the bells and whistles they need. I think nutrition and strength and conditioning is another story, but that's recruit to recruit. I go back to what Smith Orogbo told me on the phone Sunday, is the nutrition and strength and conditioning program really impressed him at Texas. And Zena was his host. And I think Zena's saying, look, I was 235 when I arrived, and I'm 260 now. By the way, there's a little team thing for you from Smith Orogbo. That I think that part, I think it's player to player, though. Look, if you're an undersized guy like a Smith Orogbo, and when I say undersized, 6'4", 220, going to be 250, 255 in time, that's going to be a huge part of what you look at in a program if you understand what you have to do to go get on the field and go maximize your talent. And I think it's different from player to player, but I think having a great strength and conditioning and nutrition program combined is huge for Sark's selling of player development. Because I think when we talk about player development, we talk about Kenny Baker, and Kyle Flood, and Johnny Nansen, and everybody coaching up these guys from a technique standpoint. But I think the biggest part of player development happens before they ever hit the field.
Before we move on to the next one, fellas, I need to tell folks out there about one of our sponsors, and Factor. And warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you can fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. And what are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can absolutely crush your wellness goals this June with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Fellas, treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options from our friends at Factor. And just make your day delicious. And here's the best part. As I said, they're ready in 2 minutes. There's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleaning up. It's so easy and it tastes so good. Bobby and Jerry can agree with that one. So head on over to factormeals.com/Texas50. Use promo code Texas50. They're going to give you 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. And we want to thank Factor for sponsoring.
Love that stuff, man.
Good stuff.
Easy lunchtime meals, man. Easy lunchtime meals.
And it tastes great. It really does. We got another super chat here. This one from Longhorn Frenzy. And thank you, Longhorn Frenzy. He says, where is Texas standing with Vasusi? According to his tweet last night, he postponed his trip to Oregon. Do you think that maybe he's getting visit fatigue?
Yeah, I think just Oregon is too far at the end of the day. You know, I talked to Michael last night briefly. He said he may reschedule it. I mean, we'll see, right? I think this is coming down to Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. I think Texas or Texas A&M's been trending. And that's why the article I put out on texasfootball.com, I put the 10 recruitments Texas needs to win and the one must get. Obviously, the must get was DeCorian Moore. But with Vasusi, that's such a battleground recruitment, Bobby, because if he doesn't go to Texas, he's going to A&M. If he doesn't go to A&M, he's going to Oklahoma. So that's your two arch rivals. He's a DFW recruit. He's a five-star prospect. I think this weekend is huge for that recruitment, obviously. And Texas has been working from a pretty good spot. And the whole family will be in town this weekend, I believe. So I think it'll come down to this weekend and then how quickly he decides after that.
Okay, well, let's Jerry, I know you wanted to talk about the official visitors coming up here, and I'm hoping I have the right graphic. I'm going to pop it up there, and if so, we'll let you take it away there.
Yes, there we go. Matt, our producer, Matthew, doing great work as always here. The Texas Longhorns official visitors list for this weekend. Midweeks, Dorian Brew, DeJean Lee, Nathan Tillman. Obviously, 3 4-star defensive backs. DeJean Lee, long shot. Dorian Brew, we'll see. Nathan Tillman committed to SMU. I think Texas has a real shot there. And so then the weekend official visitors coming up, big list, obviously 6-7 commitments. You have KJ Lacy, James Simon committed. Then you have the two receivers, Jamie French, Khalik Lockett, two very similar wideouts, by the way. Commitment, Amari Winston. I think Nick Townsend, Bobby, is a huge official visit this weekend. One of the best athletes in the country. Then you have Fasusi coming in with the 3 offensive line commitments, Jackson Jordan and Devin Coleman. Boy, food bill is going to be high this weekend. Then you have Zion Williams, who may eat more than all of them, food bill higher. Then you have DJ Sanders, Elijah Barnes, we talked about, Madden Faramo, Brandon Huey's not on here, but his favorite. Kate Phillips, Aiden Anning, Devin Williams, Auburn commitment, which I think will be a tough one for Texas. But that is going to wrap up the June official visit weekend. And Bobby, I know people are going to be circling Fasusi, right? And then Jamie French this weekend. Those are the kind of two big ones. Some people may be circling Zion Williams because if he doesn't go to Texas, he's going to LSU probably. But Nick Townsend, to me, is a huge visitor because he is one of the elite prospects, not just tight ends in the country.
I think Nick Townsend, I think Cade Phillips and Aiden Anding.
Yep.
Texas needs to domino on those three. And I say that in a way where Texas had the lead on all three of those guys at various times. Townsend apparently likes Alabama a lot.
Yep.
But this is a guy that's 235 pounds and ran a 10.900 meter. It's just he's athletic. He plays offense. He plays defense. He's a football player. If you want a comparison for him, Jerry, my comparison is Bo Scaife. That's what Bo used to look like in high school. He was 6'3 and a half, 225, and returned kicks.
Yeah.
So, and Bo obviously, what, a 7 or 8 year NFL career, through two different knee surgeries. And then, you know, as far as Aiden Anding, you mentioned the importance of him earlier, Jerry. And it's good to hear that his parents or his mom's coming down along with his brother or sister, you know, siblings. The reality of it is that was one that the Longhorns found early and need to domino on. They need to finish out. And then you mentioned Cade Phillips as a whole. I'm not so sure he's not their number one safety on the board, period. Oh, yeah. And young man out of Hightower, they already have Caleb Chester in this class. Fort Bend Marshall. This would be another Fort Bend player and kind of Texas breaking through in that area of Houston is important. I mean, we talk about certain areas of Dallas and South Dallas into McKinney and all that stuff being important. We know all that, but I'm telling you, the Fort Bend area of Houston has had numerous elite prospects, and they just haven't looked at Texas very hard. And this would be another one that would be very promising, in my opinion. Very, very promising in that regard. So there's a lot of talented players coming in. You mentioned Madden Faramo to go along with Elijah Bo Barnes. Not only is Jamie French coming in, but Kalik Lockett as well, Zion Williams, you know, as well as DJ Sanders. So there's a bunch of guys coming, I think 17 in all, Jerry, if I'm not mistaken, for the weekend, and then three in this midweek range. I don't even know what to say right now about Dejon Lee, Dorian Brew, and Nathan Tillman, because Jerry, Texas has not done the midweek official visit much.
Ever.
And it's interesting that they're bringing all three DBs in midweek. So it's definitely going to be a DB focused week this year, this week at some level.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I think the midweeks is not what Sark ideally wants to do, but I think they've had to do that defensive back this cycle. I think they decided then to just bring in two or three of those guys in the midweek, because they would have preferred to get Dorian Brew on a weekend visit. They tried and tried and tried. So anybody says no, preferable midweek, that's not correct. It was weekend. That was what's preferred. There's a reason it was set up June 7th through 9th, and they're doing what they have to get him on campus at this point. Dejon Lee, Johnny Nansen, they've done some good work there getting him on campus. Long shot. You never know, though. That's why you get these guys on campus. And then Nathan Tillman, what I kind of like about Nathan Tillman now is he had some loyalty to Baylor. Look, man, I told him I was coming. I'm not going to cancel that visit on him. Same thing with TCU. Look, man, I told him I was coming. I'm not going to cancel that visit on him. That's a respectable thing for me. He's a kid that's committed to SMU, and he didn't want to just bounce on those a Baylor last minute. He took that visit last week, and he's coming in today for a 2-day visit. So I kind of like that about Nathan Tillman. That's a different approach, but I think he's showing some loyalty to the people that have been on him the longest, obviously. And I think it's a recruitment Texas can win. It's going to be huge, huge weekend. Somebody's asking about Michael Terry too, which I think is a good question. LL, he has some good questions. Let's bring this up. You know, Michael Terry will be interesting. I think he had a good visit to A&M. Texas A&M and Nebraska are all in it. Telling him athlete, obviously. Nebraska saying wide receiver. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there with Texas A&M and Texas with Michael Terry. It's going to be interesting to see as teams, as A&M is going to take three wide receivers in this class. Texas is going to take three or four, right? So as these positions fill up, how does that change the way he looks at recruiting? Because he wants a shot at wide receiver, but I think he knows he's open to the athlete spot in those other positions. So that's kind of a wild card recruitment for me right now, because I think a lot of things play out. Michael Terry, now timelines change, but this is one that they aren't really planning to rush a decision July or something. This could go on into the fall a little bit. We'll see. A lot of those timelines, they back off of that. So that one could play out a little while. We'll see on it.
And we got a couple of super chats. I want to start with this one to lead into my next question from UT Boy. He says, Jerry Hamilton is a 5-star. Thank you, UT Boy.
Hey, if you guys did not, so to get prepared for this morning, I actually watched Jerry's soliloquy yesterday, last night on Talking Ball. And Jerry, you were fantastic dishing out the information last night on Talking Ball.
Appreciate it.
You handled. He went solo for the whole time and just actually delivered the news. Good stuff there, Jerry, on a big recruiting day, big moment for the University of Texas. Congrats there, Jerry. You did phenomenal work.
And, Jerry, you've been teasing people with highs here lately. And so we got some questions regarding those. Mick Biscuit wants to know, are we still at 4 highs? And then I know we had another question asking if Dia Bell was one of your highs.
He was not. He was not one of those. We had talked. He was leaning to Texas when he was going to make that decision. Boom. We weren't sure it was going to come yesterday, right? We just knew that it had been consistent. It was going to be in June. He was not one of my highs. My highs are pretty much all the 25 class, and they're out there. Will all of them come home? We'll see. Remember, there was a September high for Ryan Wingo, and that took a while to play out. So some of these may take a little bit of a little while to play out, but that is when Texas has been told.
And we have a super chat here from Jerry's Jack Links. He says, what are the odds Aggie pull some shenanigans at our team hotel when we go to College Station? Pulling a fire alarm at 3 a.m., etc. You know that they're going to try.
Blake, are you old enough to remember that? Are you? Do you remember when A&M did that to Texas?
Very vaguely.
Yeah, between food poisoning and phone calls to rooms and fire alarms and everything else.
Have we had Rod Babers
has a great story about it?
Yeah, Rod's got a great story. We need to get that tonight on Longhorn live stream. That's a good thing for Rod to bring up. But here's the thing: I would say to that it's going to be a night game. I would think Texas Sark. I don't think Sark State. Even if it was 11 a.m. Yes, but if it's a 2:30 game, I don't think Sark's staying in College Station, Bobby. I don't think he's doing that.
He better not. He needs to stay. It won't be an 11 o'clock game. We know that, but
it's 2:30 or 7.
Yeah, so he'll stay somewhere outside of town, whether it's North Houston. He can stay anywhere up near Intercontinental Airport.
They could stay up at Lake Conroe in Margaritaville or something too.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay right in there and be an hour away.
Yeah. That may be the way to go.
Well, nobody wants to stay in College Station, guys, but King Me wants to know, who's one team that you would love for Texas to play a home and home against?
Man, I like the traditional big time guys. I love going to USC. I enjoyed that game immensely in the Coliseum. Thought that was a great atmosphere, preseason. Notre Dame, huge. In my opinion, yeah. They're already playing Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. Is there one? I mean, Penn State might be interesting. I went to the game Texas played in Penn State. I guess it was in 90 or 91. Texas won. That would be a good one. Maybe Washington would be an interesting one, Jerry, up in Seattle. I'm just thinking of good, big-time programs that are going to fill their side of the stadium, that Texas can go and play. I say all this, and then Texas goes and loses back-to-back to Maryland and Cal. So,
I get my recruiting brain on. I want to play Miami.
I was going to say that at Florida State.
They're Florida State. I would love to play home and home with both of those. I just think moving into the SEC – Texas is doing very well in the state of Florida in recruiting. I think they can do even better in time, depending on what happens with Mario, with the next Florida coach, and with Mike Norvell, if does he continue that build at FSU. I'd like the idea of playing Miami just because I'd like to see 45,000 Texas fans at a Miami game and see how many Miami fans actually showed up.
Oh, man. All right. Our next question, fellas, is going to be from Phil. And he says, do y'all have any updates on how the video board and Southside logo install are going? Bobby, do you have anything on that?
Only that it is ongoing. I haven't heard anything more than that at this point. CJ, I know CJ drove by there and said it was going on. This was as of last week, but I don't have anything more than that.
Well, one thing I know you that you do have stuff on, Bobby, is Texas electricity ratings. Can you tell folks out there about them?
Absolutely. Hey, guys, for anyone shopping for electricity in the deregulated areas of Texas, TexasElectricityRatings.com is the best place to find a great electricity plan for your household. For starters, it filters out the dangerous and gimmicky plans from providers that are all hat and no cattle when it comes to your monthly bill. You can shop by rate, but also by an average bill feature that actually takes into account seasonal usage to give you a real number and not just a placeholder, a real number. So if you're looking for a new electricity plan this summer, check out TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for the best options available. Hook them from the folks at TexasElectricityRatings.com.
God, I was muted. Our next question comes from Nate Russ. He says, what will be the lowest scoring game for Texas? And what game do you think they allow the most points?
Ooh. Michigan lowest scoring. I think Michigan lowest scoring. Allow most points, Georgia. I think Georgia's offense is going to be pretty darn good. What do you think, Jerry? Where do you go on that?
Yeah, I think Michigan because it's early season. Yep. And the new wide receivers, Amari Nyblack, I think that there's a little more of an adjustment than Texas last year going to Alabama with A.D. Mitchell being the only newcomer of the skill guys. Well, that's C.J. Baxter, but I meant receivers, tight ends. Team that scores the most, that's an interesting question. Georgia's going to have the most talent.
And the quarterback.
And a quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be, let's say, it's not going to be Arkansas, Vanderbilt. We don't think it's going to be Mississippi State.
No.
I think Georgia's a natural choice for most points.
Right.
And for least points, I think Michigan's a natural choice for least points.
If it's A&M, it's going to be a sad chat.
Oh, well, or it may be 10-9.
No, I meant most points.
Oh, that would be a sad. That would be a sad everything, Jerry Hamilton. Let's just be clear about that.
Justin Yarbrough's in Singer Island. Hey, congrats to you. Like that place.
We have another super chat, fellas, from UT Boy. Once again, he says, "Bobby, are we tailgating?"
Of course, we're tailgating. We've got to figure out all these plans out, guys. I answered this yesterday. I didn't make the plans yesterday and get it figured out all in one day. It'll be a couple of weeks to a month before we figure out everything exactly what's going on. But we've actually got some plans out going. I can't wait to see everybody out there. Football, what is it, 74 days away? Is that right now?
Yeah.
74. So can't believe it's getting into that. Starts getting into that 70 range. It feels a little more real. You know what I mean? Like one summer vacation away is what it basically is right now.
And the Green Lantern, and I wanted to let you kind of plug this here, Bobby. He says, "I watch Coffee and Football live on YouTube because I know the schedule. Can you please tell us the days and times of all your shows on your channel page? I'd like to participate with the other shows, but what's their schedules?"
You know, this is a good question, and we do need to put this out for folks at some point, but we vary it because, like last night, frankly, that was supposed to be a taped show. But Jerry felt the need and felt it was important to go live and do a live talking ball because of what had happened during the day with Dia Bell. And so we move our shows around a little bit, except for the planned live stream. So Jerry, me, and Blake do the Coffee and Football every Monday morning, 8 to 9 or 8:15 to 9:15-ish. Then we have the live streams on Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And then we have Winning Drive on Monday and Thursday as well. And we have a number of pre-recorded programs throughout the week as well. So that's what we do. And to this point, please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. It helps a number of different things, but you will get automatic notifications if you turn notifications on when we do have a new video. Same if you're on podcasts, and whether it's Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you click that link so that you know when a new one comes available. I will post the skeleton of the schedule, but realize that we always jump in when there's news or things going on that are important to Texas fans. That's kind of our
lunch with the coach will return during the season.
Yep, it returns, Casey. It returns in lunch with the coach returns in August. I actually just talked to Brian last week, Brian Irwin. He was headed to, I think, Puerto Vallarta for a week. So he's living the tough life right now as a retired coach.
Vacation with the coach starts tomorrow.
Yes.
All right, guys, this will probably be our last one for today. It's a super chat from Dennis Donaldson. Thank you, Dennis. He says, "Can you explain?" And I saw your question just a little bit ago, but he said, "I have a question about Mac and Sark as recruiters. Also, as a CEO, can y'all explain the differences between the two?"
Oh, it's very simple. Mac had his hands in everything to do with recruiting, but was not as involved in evaluation as Sark, or as stringent on evaluation, in my opinion. Both are excellent recruiters. I think Mac Brown could sell ice to Eskimos.
No.
You know, I think Sark is a little bit more I don't want to say diligent because that's not the right word. Mac was very, very diligent. He's just more down to earth in one way, in that he's very straightforward with the process. He's not about this grand plan or anything like that. He kind of brings it down to the player's level, where I think Mac sold the family atmosphere a little bit more. Sark sells the family atmosphere, but he's more about winning culture and development in that regard. So it's a little bit different mindset almost from the CEO. And I would say Mac was more of a CEO head coach, whereas I think Sark's a CEO head coach. He's just a hands-on CEO coach. Like he's calling the plays. Mac was just a CEO coach. He had an offensive coordinator. He had a defensive coordinator. Mark Valdez, Mac was like that charismatic grandfather that you just wanted to make proud and never wanted to disappoint. Very true. There's a lot of truth in that.
His memory recall was unbelievable in recruiting.
Get out of here a little early today, Jerry. Yeah. You're off to go see a couple of recruits this morning. We want to let you get going. Blake, thank you for hosting today. I want to say this real quick, if you don't mind. Guys, CJ Vogel, Jerry, myself, we're over there all day, every day. We'd love your support. Become an OTF OG. Right now, it's just $39.95 for 1 year. That's $20 off a regular subscription price to ontexasfootball.com. Again, $39.95 for a year. Use promo code OTFOG. That's promo code OTFOG. You get $20 off an annual subscription. Jerry, CJ already writing up articles earlier today. There will be more from Jerry's trips later today as well.
That's right. So head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Also hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Ring the bell so you don't miss a video. Turn those notifications on. And we want to thank Texas Electricity Ratings, along with Factor and Manscaped, for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. The great Super Chats. And we'll be back same place, same time tomorrow morning. So for Jerry Hamilton and Bobby Burton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you then.
Recruiting breakdown today.